Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Presents to you the most unique show in sports.
Sorry for hating. No, I'm not. I love being a hater when it comes to winning money.
A show so unapologetically original, it needs its own word to describe it. Wagertainment.
Money won is twice as sweet as money earned.
Featuring the prop king himself, Nick Kostos.
The New York Football Giants. Imagine a world where an NFL team, think about this, scores 32 points, doesn't allow a point until the fourth quarter, and loses. Losers lose. I'm going to say something crazy. The Indianapolis Colts are the second best team in the AFC. If you told me that the Colts in January were going on the road to Buffalo, I'd bet Indianapolis, and I wouldn't think twice about it.
This is You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
What's up, everybody? Happy and merry. Phenomenal. Football and basketball and baseball. Sports. Friday to you and yours. This is You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Nick Kostos, Femi Abebefe, our crew, and you, here on the Odyssey app, on SiriusXM, on YouTube, on Twitch, on radio stations nationwide, we are in your hearts and in your minds as we bring you the fastest show in all of Wagertainment, talking all things sports betting. The show presented today and always by BetMGM. Make it legendary by downloading the BetMGM app and visiting BetMGM.com. I have this moment every day during the intro of the show where I have to decide in the moment if I want to say bitches or not after Make It Legendary. I probably shouldn't because it's not their tagline, but it is funny. So I had that moment just now where do I throw this in? Maybe I'll call my people at BetMGM and see if they would like if that were added to the tagline. Probably not. I probably won't make that call. Download the BetMGM app and visit BetMGM.com. Coming up today on the show, we will survive. Can you survive if you're already dead? It's a question philosophers have been asking for centuries. We're going to answer that question definitively today. Yes, you can survive. Femi, Tyler, and myself will debate the best survivor choices on the board, even though we have been eliminated for weeks. I mean, the Rams lost to the 49ers on Thursday Night Football. It feels like that was like 4 years ago. We've been out for a long ass time. But if you took our advice last week, you either had the Kansas City Chiefs, or perhaps, like Randy Savage once implored Hulk Hogan to do in a famously bad rap song, be a man, Hulk. Maybe you were a man and you took the Carolina Panthers against the New York Jets. If you took our advice, you survived into week 8. We will attempt to help you, dear listener and dear viewer, survive into week 9 today on the show. We will also give you all our bets for tonight in the world of sports. That is the NBA, a full menu of games, and I absolutely love that. Have a bunch of sides that I like tonight in the association. I know that Frozen Femi has some hockey bets. I know because I spoke to Femi on the phone this morning at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time, 7:30 a.m. Pacific Time, where Femi lives in Vegas. I'm not joking. Femi was awake, handicapping tonight in the National Hockey League. That is not a joke. That is dedication. Frozen Femi's got hockey bets for us, and we will give you our bets for Game 1 of the World Series tonight with the Dodgers and the Blue Jays in Toronto. And then, in the final hour, in the power hour of the show, it's all our bets for the football weekend. College football and the National Football League. We very much look forward to that. Two tremendous guests will join us. Colin Wilson, Action Network Big Bets on Campus. All of Colin's bets for this weekend in college football. And Major League Baseball Hall of Famer, Tom Glavine, 1995 World Series MVP, Tom Glavine. Tom Glavine joins the show to break down the Dodgers and the Blue Jays in the Fall Classic. Today's social question, you can type it on YouTube, you can type it in on Twitch. For those of you watching the show on our video channels, what's your best bet for this weekend in football? You give us a college football bet if you want, or Week 8 NFL Sunday. A side, a total, a prop. Anything that you like, you can bet whatever you like. Just don't bet A.J. Brown over receiving yards. He was just ruled out by the Philadelphia Eagles. We will give you all the injury updates at the end of the show. Tyler Morales has been working diligently on his injury reports after he started Aronde Gadsden last night in fantasy over Mason Taylor. Good move by him, a.k.a. me. Type in your best bets on YouTube and Twitch. Bill Zimmerman will read the best ones later in the show. And Downtown Mike Brown will put your name in lights. But we officially begin the phenomenal Football Friday edition of You Better You Bet by pouring one out for the end of what had been a pretty scintillating run of games on Thursday Night Football. You know, even last week with the Giants and the Eagles, 2 weeks ago with the Giants and the Eagles, 34-17 Giants. Like, that's a blowout win by the Giants, but an eminently watchable game. Like, a very watchable football game and a very notable football game and noteworthy football game with the Giants and the Eagles. Steelers-Bengals was massively entertaining a couple weeks ago. Dolphins-Bills in Week 3 was a 10-point game, but that game was pretty entertaining. Niners and Rams, massively entertaining, even though it knocked us out of Survivor. We've had some really good Thursday night football games this year. Last night, not so much. Now, we won our bet. Credit to us. Joe Alt announced in. We bet the Chargers. It is a no-sweat laugher. And I will admit, on the pick six that was called back on the first drive of the game by Isaiah Rodgers of Justin Herbert, I'm a little concerned. But alas, incomplete pass. Chargers go right down the field. Hot knife through butter. Yada, 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 7-0, en route to an absolute demolition. Here comes the axe, here comes the smasher. And we got a Trey Harris anytime touchdown in the process. So a great betting game for the show last night. Shout out to us for laying it with the Los Angeles Chargers once it was announced that Joe Alt would be in. And you can't overstate the importance of Joe Alt and candidly, even Trey Pipkins to this offense. When you take Alt out with Rashawn Slater already out, I mean, you are dealing with truly like bottom of the barrel offensive tackles to protect Justin Herbert. And Mekhi Becton can't stay healthy. He literally leaves every single game with injury. Like literally, not figuratively, leaves the game with injury. But the Chargers offensive line able to hold up enough for Justin Herbert to shred the Vikings defense. We'll get to the Vikings defense in a little bit. We'll talk about the Chargers in a little bit. But Jim Harbaugh, after the game, really extolling the virtues of Joe Alt. And it's something to keep in mind, betting the Chargers this season. If they've got Joe Alt, like the offensive line can operate. And if they don't, it's like the piece you take out of the Jenga tower, and that son of a bitch comes crumbling down. Usually, we start the game recaps with winners. We really have to start here with the loser of last night, though. The 3-4 Minnesota Vikings. And I will call back to something that I said yesterday on the show on a tremendous football Thursday. When I declared the 2025 season for the Minnesota Vikings, D-E-D, dead, and D-U-N, done. Season's over. Before last night's game, before we knew that Christian Darrisaw would only last 9 plays and have to leave the game, before we knew Brian O'Neill was out, before we knew Joe Alt was playing, I declared the Vikings season dead and said they are coming in last place in the NFC North. And the reason why I said that, and I think I'm going to be so right about all of this, and I can't wait for it to play out. The Vikings are lying about J.J. McCarthy's ankle. They're lying. Like, there's no, in no universe is an ankle sprain a 6-week injury for a quarterback. Like, they're lying. And it's why Kevin O'Connell gets really testy and gets really angry whenever he's asked about it. Because they're pressing him on it and he doesn't want to be pressed on it. If J.J. McCarthy were healthy enough to be the emergency quarterback last night, why can't he start in the game in a massive spot on a short week with Carson Wentz deal? I mean, Carson Wentz, this might be the toughest son of a bitch in the world, Carson Wentz. This guy's been getting the absolute crap kicked out of him. His arm's like hanging from a thread, like his shoulder may be separated, and he's out there taking hits, he's playing, and J.J. McCarthy's just chilling there on the sideline. I mean, there's a play last night that goes viral on social media where Carson Wentz is kind of like, it's like tackled going out of bounds, and McCarthy like jumps to avoid, you know, getting hit by the ball carrier, lands, and he's cheering and he's signaling first down. Does anyone think he's injured? Sprained ankle? Leaping in the air? Really? Like, are there people... I'll ask Femi this question later. Like, do you believe it? That McCarthy's actually hurt? And O'Connell after the game gives you the same line. Well, JJ will play if he completes a full week of practice. So they can manipulate this situation and massage the situation. And maybe they list him as limited one day and then they have to go, oh, well, he's up. Well, we want him to have a full week of preparation. And Carson Wentz will start again, even though he's like the knight from Monty Python. He's getting annihilated every single game. I mean, I'm being serious. Did anyone feel bad for Carson Wentz last night? He's getting bulldozed every week. The offensive line in Minnesota is decimated. He's getting the tar kicked out of him. And he takes a licking. This bastard keeps on ticking. It's unbelievable. How much credit do you give him? You can't give him enough credit. What a tough bastard, man. I thought at one point, like, Max Prosmer has to come in. Now Carson Wentz, like, his arm is hanging like a wet noodle. How's he going to play? He's like Wolverine. He goes back out there to take more punishment. Carson Wentz at this point is like the equivalent of, like, a reliever when you're down in a game and you're like, you know what? We're going to save the bullpen for tomorrow. Hey, Joe Slappy on the bench, get out there and soak up 6 innings and get the crap kicked out of you. It doesn't matter how many runs you give up. We need someone to get us to tomorrow. Carson Wentz is Scott Proctor. Like, insert long reliever of choice. Like, hey, like, we can't play J.J. McCarthy for whatever you think the reason is. I think it's because, like, what could it be if he's not hurt? That they don't think he's good enough, right? That has to be it. What else could it be? Because I don't buy that he's actually hurt. So it's, hey, Carson, go out there and just get annihilated behind this offensive line. He's not doing it for free. So there's something to be said for that. And if you paid me a couple million bucks, I'd get sacked by NFL players. I might not survive. I don't have the frame that Carson Wentz has. But still, I mean, he's basically the NFL quarterback equivalent of a Major League Baseball long reliever. You're down 11 runs in the third inning and you need to win tomorrow and let's just put him out there and go finish the game and who cares how it goes. That's what this is right now for Carson Wentz. So now, the Vikings are 3-4. And Kevin O'Connell still won't commit. They have 10 days now until next week, and he still won't commit to McCarthy. Does anyone strike anyone as weird? What's going on here? If everything I'm saying is true, I think it is. I'll always, you know, acknowledge the possibility that I'm wrong. Wrong. I think I'm correct. If it's true. They're basically saying, we know we can't win with JJ right now. And it doesn't mean that, like, JJ's career is over. But I don't think they think they can win right now with McCarthy. Do you realize that last year, the Minnesota Vikings, in their quarterback room, had Sam Darnold and Daniel Jones? Both of them. If McCarthy can't play, and that remains to be seen, so that's a little bit down the road. If JJ can't play, this will go down as one of the most catastrophic quarterback evaluations in recent memory. Because they could have signed Sam Darnold. How's he looking now? And this doesn't have to be like, I knew this was going to happen. That's not the point. I'm not an NFL GM. How's Sam Darnold look? How's Daniel Jones look? What would the Vikings' record be if they had one of those two right now? But no. You've got broken-winged Carson Wentz, like, in the year of our Lord, 2025, starting and losing games. You think it's bad now? Wait until we talk about the schedule the rest of the way for Minnesota. We'll do that and praise Justin Herbert and the Los Angeles Chargers. Next.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
For J.J. McCarthy at the quarterback position, he will get some work in. Got some work today, and will hopefully get some work throughout the early part of the week, which will lead him into a full week of preparation and feel positive about where he's at as well.
You're tuned in to You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and the crew on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Oh, wow. I think we have a new leader in the clubhouse. Win Nick Costos' money. Our excellent engineer, Jake Hassan, pulling sound from Vikings head coach Kevin O'Connell. That's like within the hour. Just got posted. Great job by Jake. It's like J.J. McCarthy's like a child. Well, you know, he's going to practice. Okay, he's going to get a little bit of work today. And hopefully he'll be good to go. And then he's going to get a full week of practice. And then, like, my little boy's going to be ready. Everybody, this is the National Football League. Like, Brett Favre used to play on enough painkillers to kill an elephant. Carson Wentz's arm was like hanging out of his shoulder, was hanging out of its socket last night. Like, J.J. McCarthy can't play. Does anyone think this is weird? No one finds this odd? No one thinks this is bizarre? Do we think McCarthy's starting next week? Is it going to be Wentz? Like three-way market. Vikings starting quarterback next week against the Lions. Brosmer, Wentz, McCarthy. Who's the favorite? Honestly, I think you could have a conversation about who the favorite should be. This is like we are now entering like the theater of the absurd. And especially if McCarthy doesn't play next week. And I'm not saying he can't play next week. I'm not saying he can't be good. Just that, like, I'm not here for the idea that, like, he hasn't gotten soft benched here by the Minnesota Vikings. This is all ridiculous. Vikings are now 3-4. Get slammed last night by the Chargers. The schedule coming up, whether it's McCarthy or Wentz or Brosmer, is impossible. At Detroit, loss. Home Ravens. Home Bears. At Green Bay. At Seattle. Home Jaden Daniels and the Commanders. At Dallas. At the Giants. Home Lions. Home Packers to close. They're coming in last. This is going to be the last place team in the NFC North. And there are times on this show where I'll say, hey, like in the offseason, I told you this was going to happen. I predicted it. I was way wrong on this one. I thought the Vikings were going to the playoffs. I thought McCarthy was going to be good. KOC coaching him up. Brian Flores would have this defense flying around. That's the other thing. This defense for Minnesota, kind of like low-key stinks. If you take the game against Cincinnati, like, out of the equation, where they just, I mean, it's an all-time bleep-kicking. And ass wasn't the word I was going to use, of Jake Browning and the Bengals. Take that game out. Like, this is, they have not, like, covered themselves in glory this season, the Minnesota Vikings defense, and just got killed last night by Justin Herbert and the Chargers. You expect more from this defense, right? Is that fair or unfair? And maybe you're out there listening or watching, and you think what I'm saying about J.J. McCarthy is unfair. Is it fair what I'm saying about the defense? To expect more from this Vikings defense? And expect more from the draft picks from Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, where like none of these guys are good. Like, where's Dallas Turner? What's he done in 2 years other than like lead with his helmet like he's Chuck Cecil back in the day and try and injure Justin Herbert? Like he's Brandon Merriweather. My God, this team's finished. As far as the playoffs go. Forget about it. D-E-D dead. D-U-N. Done. As far as the winning team goes, the Los Angeles Chargers. Man. This is like the, would be like the cover of the VHS tape titled Life in the NFL. 72 hours previous to last night, the Chargers got run off of their own field by the Indianapolis Colts. Got crushed by Indy. And the final score is 14 points, and like that does signify a beatdown. I don't even think it accurately tells the story of that game, where every time the Chargers even slightly threatened to come back, the Colts slammed the door on them. 72 hours later on the same field, they humiliate another NFL team. Life in the NFL comes at you fast. Justin Herbert, amazing again last night. He's so good. And there was a pretty interesting development in this Chargers offense. They've got studs at the receiving core, in the receiving core, and we know that. Ladd McConkey, Quentin Johnston, Keenan Allen. What you saw last night, two of the rookie pass catchers are starting to really come on. First is Aronde Gadsden, who's, why does he not go by Aronde Gadsden Jr.? Only because, like, I'm old enough to remember his dad playing for the Miami Dolphins. True story. In 2001, which was the year Marshall Faulk won NFL MVP for the Rams, I traded on the eve of the season in a fantasy league that I was in. That used to be on, did anyone remember Sandbox? You have to be really old for this. Sandbox, like, back in the day was, like, somewhere where you played fantasy football. And I was in a league, and I traded Arizona Cardinals running back Emmitt Smith and Aronde Gadsden for Marshall Faulk. And he won NFL MVP and I won the league. Just been, I've been doing this for a long time. And Aronde Gadsden now like the son of Aronde Gadsden, obviously, that would be a hell of a coinkydink. He might already be better than his dad was. And if you don't remember, like, his dad was a good wide receiver. Not a great wide receiver, but a good wide receiver for many years for the Miami Dolphins. He's nasty. Nasty catching the football. And we bet Trey Harris anytime touchdown, the second round wide receiver out of Ole Miss. He scored, and he's starting to flash. You've got five legit weapons in that passing attack for Justin Herbert. Omarion Hampton's going to be back. Khalil Mack is back on the defensive side of the ball. I really missed an opportunity to do a little Mark Morrison bit there. Whoa! That wasn't really that good. When I'm back up on my stream. Yes, I did. Oh, my God. You lied to me. We had the return of the Mac. The Chargers are, like, rounding into playoff form. 5-3. I would do, like, a Sinatra bit here, but there's too much music. The best is yet to come. Like, they're legit. And we'll have a conversation maybe next week. Let's see how things shake out this week in the AFC. But the Chargers are really good. If Herbert plays like that and all stays healthy, so you need some things to happen. Like, you can't afford to lose any offensive lineman, and that is, like, a pretty big deal, right? If the offensive line gets hurt, then, like, they're screwed. But if it stays healthy, the weapons are there. You have a top quarterback in Justin Herbert, and the defense had a nice bounce back last night after getting thrashed a couple weeks in a row, 2 weeks ago by the Miami Dolphins, and on Sunday by the Indianapolis Colts. That's good stuff from the Los Angeles Chargers. And next week, the Chargers travel to Tennessee. The Chargers will be 6-3 after next week. And I think the AFC West is about to send three teams back to the playoffs like it did last year. The Kansas City Chiefs, the Denver Broncos, and the now 5-3 Los Angeles Chargers. You better you bet on this Friday. Femi and Tyler will join me next segments. Maybe Femi joins me this segment. We'll talk about J.J. McCarthy. I do want to talk for a couple of minutes about the NBA from last night. Only two games, but both, like, pretty noteworthy games and both awesome games. Like, we, as basketball fans, we're kind of getting our money's worth in these, like, primetime games and, like, the standalone games because, like, they're all going overtime. We're getting extra basketball in basically every game. We'll start with the NBA Finals rematch in Indiana, where the Thunder predictably beat the Pacers, but in unpredictable fashion, the game goes to double overtime. And the Thunder win by 6, and I somehow, sitting with Pacers plus 7.5, overtime where underdogs go to die, the Pacers somehow cover the spread, and I very much appreciate them for that. Talk about the Thunder in a second, but just on Indiana. Obviously, this is not a legitimate Eastern Conference title contender. Unfortunately for them. Like, no, not having Haliburton the whole year is really going to prevent them from reaching, like, true ceiling outcomes like they achieved last year. But it's wild how good of a coach Rick Carlisle is. And we know, right? Like, we know he's an awesome coach. This is going to be, and, like, this is, like, a pretty, like, generic cliche thing to say, but, you know, this is, like, with Haliburton out, we're all going to be saying, in, like, 3 months from now, when they're the 5 seed in the East, we're all going to be saying, best coaching job of Rick Carlisle's career. Like, not winning the title with the Mavericks, not getting to Game 7 last year with the Pacers. No, this will be the best coaching. I guarantee it. Guaranteed a couple months from now that we will all collectively be saying it. Why can't this be a top 6 team in the East? Like, why can't they finish top 6? Why do they have to be a play-in team or miss the playoffs? This is what Benedict Mathurin's going to be. 36 points. Most improved player, anyone? And Siakam's going to be a stud. And Toppin keeps... like Obi Toppin's game raised in the playoffs, scored 20 last night. Nembhard's got to stay healthy. Like, he missed he's only played the first half last night. I think Indiana can absolutely be a top 6 team, and that is a credit to the Indiana Pacers organization. I'll say it after one game. I think they're going to be better than I thought they were. That is a great effort last night from the Indiana Pacers. Just on the Thunder, who adjusted win total, they're 2-0 is 62.5. I'll ask a crazy question. Can they win 70 games? Is that nuts that they could win 70? They're obviously awesome. And here's a double nickel from SGA, 55 points. So SGA has now scored 90 points in two games. Took some overtimes, obviously, like four, in fact, to get him there, but still, 90 points in two games. Do you know that he has shot in two games 3 of 16 from three? What happens when the threes start going down? Is that accurate, the stat, Femi, that you just put in the chat for me? That's like actually, dude, that's hysterical. So SGA has shot 40 free throws through two games, which for any other player, you'd be like, no way. But that's the thing, like, he's going to get to the line. He's going to score a million points. I don't think SGA cares about, like, hey, like, well, Victor Wembanyama just scored 40 and everyone's talking about him. Now let me drop 55. I don't think that's what's happening here. If the Thunder win 65 games and SGA scores 33 points a game, he's just winning MVP again. And it doesn't mean that Wemby can't be the best player. I don't know how this team's not winning a million games and they're not going back-to-back and winning the title and SGA is not winning another MVP. I don't see how it doesn't happen unless there's some kind of injury, and obviously no one roots for that. And on the Warriors and the Nuggets. It's another overtime loser for us after the under in the Thunder-Rockets game. Femi and I with the Nuggets, and it's looking great, and then here's Steph Curry to tie the game, and then you lose in overtime. So Golden State beats Denver. Pretty shocking that Denver lost this game. Because if I had told you, the listener, you, the viewer, before the game started, tonight, Nikola Jokic will have a 21-point triple-double. Jamal Murray will score 25 points. And Aaron Gordon will score 50. I would have put, this would have been like an uncomfortably large amount of money on Denver, and I would have lost. Pretty stunning when you hear those three things in succession and realize that the Nuggets didn't win or cover. And that's the greatness of Steph Curry, who dropped 42, and he's just ageless. He's 37, and he runs around like he's 20. It's crazy. Like, he's a unicorn. Not like Wemby's a unicorn, too. Curry's a unicorn in a different way. It's wild. Jonathan Kuminga's looked good. Jimmy Butler's looked good. Warriors are awesome. I'm not down on Denver at all with this loss last night. Like, I think Denver's the second best team in the league. I'm not willing to budge off that. It's one game, not willing to budge off that stance. I'll say this about the Warriors. And it's not a revision necessarily of my preseason take on Golden State, but I think it's an amplified version of my take on Golden State. And the take is, if everyone's going to be healthy, I think they're the third best team in the West. And maybe the third best team in the league. Now, they're staying healthy for the regular season, which would enable them, obviously, to get home court for a round, maybe even two, we'll see. And then they're staying healthy for the playoffs. And obviously, one is more important than the other. You would think at some point, Jimmy Butler's going to miss time, Steph's going to miss time, Draymond will miss time, because they're old. They're not, like, wishing injury on anyone, but you think about it, right? So I don't know if they're going to get, like, the 3 seed in the West or the 2 seed in the West for that reason. Man, we get to playoff time, and they're all healthy. Look out. This is a team that could challenge the Thunder or challenge the Denver Nuggets. Maybe would have beaten Minnesota in the second round last year had Steph Curry not getting hurt. On the other side, Femi joins me. We'll talk about J.J. McCarthy, and then Femi, Tyler, and yours truly will talk Survivor for Week 8.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You know what the irony is here, too? Last year, who played quarterback for Minnesota? Sam Darnold. How's he doing? Pretty well. Who was his backup the second half of the season? Daniel Jones. How's he doing?
Doing pretty well.
Yeah.
Probably the story of the year.
You're tuned in to You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and the crew on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Did you know Daniel Jones played quarterback at Duke? Collegiately. Sam Darnold was at USC. Let me tell you about that Rose Bowl that Sam Darnold and USC played against Saquon Barkley in Penn State.
Great game.
Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit with the call last night on Amazon Prime. Colin Wilson joins us in 20 minutes. MLB Hall of Famer Tom Glavin next hour as well. Femi joins me in a moment. But we got to tell you, dear listener and dear viewer, college football coming up tomorrow. No matter where the college football action is, there's nothing like getting in the game and leveling up your next parlay. Use today's Parlay Boost token to boost your potential payout from a winning college football parlay. Make it legendary with BetMGM. Download the BetMGM app and please gamble responsibly. And don't forget to download and subscribe to You Better You Bet in podcast form. Just search You Bet wherever you find your podcasts and check us out on YouTube, youtube.com/@TheBetMGM Network, and on Twitch, twitch.tv/TheBetMGM Network. My pal Femi Abebefe is with me. Femi, like Scarface said in Half Baked, you believe Kevin O'Connell? You believe him about J.J. McCarthy's ankle?
I believe him. I think you need to take off the tinfoil cap. I don't think there's a conspiracy going on here. J.J. McCarthy's injured. Like, that's why he has not been practicing. He is injured. And with this little mini bye week, my guess is that we will see J.J. McCarthy on Sunday against the Detroit Lions. Like, to me, the benching logic doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up for me.
Hey,
if
have
he
you
were
ever
benched,
heard of an ankle sprain keeping a quarterback out 6 weeks?
Okay, but if he was benched, why is he QB3? Why is he QB3 and not QB? Was he benched also for Max Brosmer?
But again,
was he also benched for him?
I'm being serious. Like you're like, you are a gigantic football fan, gigantic.
Correct.
And you've been working in the media for so like you are as close to the sport as anybody is. Have you ever heard of an NFL quarterback missing 6 weeks with an ankle sprain ever, or ever close to it?
6 weeks is a long time.
So that doesn't strike you as weird.
But they said it was 2 to 6 weeks. That's what they said.
But what I'm saying is that it's made up. It doesn't exist.
I didn't look at the x-ray. I'm not a doctor.
You don't need to look at the x-rays is my point. Like you just said it. You've never heard of this before. So this is like a medical case we've never seen in the history of the NFL.
I mean, I didn't see his MRI. But like my thing is that, so why is he QB3 then? Like, if you were going to bench him, why not make him QB2 and say, okay, like, JJ needs to sit down. We want to have him look at this thing, but he's going to be our backup quarterback, and Carson Wentz is going to be the QB. Why is he QB3? Like, what's the QB3 thing? Maybe they think
Brosmer gives them a better chance to win.
I mean, if that's where we're at. That's what you have to believe.
You don't think that's the case, and you might be right. Do you think that there's a possibility that that's the case? Is it a non-zero chance that they think Max Brosmer is better than J.J. McCarthy based on the evidence that we have before us?
I don't think that's the case. No, I don't think it is.
Is it non-zero?
I don't think Brosmer is better.
Do you think it's 0% or do you think it's non-zero?
I think it's 0%. I don't think they think Max... Otherwise, they would have played Max Brosmer already. They would not have been playing Carson Wentz when they know that Carson Wentz can't play. Like, Wentz has been bad. In all five of these games, he hasn't been good. That's a lot of track record to just say, you know what? Let's pull the plug on Wentz because we're still trying to win football games. Let's put Max Brosmer in. But they're not putting Max Brosmer in because they know that Max Brosmer is not the future.
They're also not putting J.J. McCarthy in.
Because JJ's also injured with an ankle injury. I don't think like that this needs to be like 40 checks.
He's practiced like the last 3 weeks. He can't play.
Same with Brock
Purdy.
Brock Purdy's also been practicing.
Brock Purdy
he's also
has
not
turf
playing.
Toe. Like JJ McCarthy has a sprained ankle. The injuries are not the same.
But Brock Purdy's also the emergency QB, just like JJ McCarthy is as QB3. Because yes, in the case of an emergency, those guys can go out there and play. But we know they're not actually ready to play because they haven't been practicing because they've been limited every week at practice.
Have you ever heard of a six week injury for a quarterback with an ankle sprain? Have you ever heard of that? Then the second part will be: have you heard of a quarterback missing a lot of time with turf toe?
I have not heard of a 6 week ankle injury for a quarterback, but it's also a high ankle sprain. It doesn't mean it's not possible. It means it's impossible that JJ McCarthy must have returned in 3 to 4 weeks.
Yes,
even though they said it was a 2 to 6 week injury.
Correct. Correct. I am insinuating that they are fudging this. Correct.
I don't think that. So next Sunday, let's say they start JJ McCarthy. Then what was this entire 5 week stretch? They just thought, now he's ready against the Detroit Lions. Now he's ready to play. The logic doesn't hold up there. It doesn't.
Well, I mean, they can't be playing Carson. If Wentz may not be healthy enough to play.
We're literally throwing you to the Lions, maybe the best team in the conference. Good luck, JJ.
At some point, you got to play him.
I think
they backed themselves into a corner here. What you are saying is basically like everything we know about medicine and injuries, he's broken the mold. This is the injury that a quarterback's up that he can't play for 6 weeks on an ankle sprain. Come on.
I mean, do they want him to maybe get a full week of practice? Probably, yeah. Let's say, could JJ have physically played last night? I'm assuming yes. He probably could have physically, just like how Brock Purdy could have physically.
This is some wussy here. And the word that I want to use starts with a different letter. This is the National Football League.
He's also a young quarterback who has not been practicing until the last 2 weeks.
Come on.
I actually think this makes sense.
This passes the smell test for you?
To me, it does. Because the alternative is what we've been seeing over the last 5 weeks, and there's no way they're signing up for that. That's the alternative. I don't think that, in a year, let me finish
unless
this. Because
they
this
think,
is a,
unless
this
they
is,
think he's worse. Unless they think well, he's
but,
worse.
But they can't think. They need to know because of the economics of the position. They have to make a decision on him after next season. They can't afford to just throw weeks away for some JJ master's class to try to figure out how to play quarterback while he's on the bench. That's not what they can afford to do because he missed all of last year. The clock is ticking. He's only played 2 games. They cannot just throw games away. So that's why I don't think this is passing the smell test in terms of a soft benching. The guy's legitimately hurt.
Okay. But again, so I want you to say then that he has broken the mold. He is the one quarterback that gets injured and gets an ankle sprain that can miss 6 games. No other quarterback that can happen with just him. I want you to say that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He has broken the mold. And we'll see him next week, and this will all be forgot because he will now be playing because he's now been healed from his high ankle sprain that he suffered in September.
Why are we doing it? Do you think it's ridiculous that he hasn't played?
I think he's hurt. I just don't know why. So why is week 9 the magic week that he gets a return from benching? Nobody can explain that.
Because they have to play him at some point. If he plays, I'm not convinced he's even going to play next week.
If he doesn't play, I'm with you. But I think he is going to play. And I think it's just been
six weeks. They can't not play him. They have to play him.
I mean, if they were benching him, they already know that he sucks. So why do they need to play him? They can make their decision already.
Because they suck. Because they suck anyway. So you might as well suck with the young quarterback and hope he gets better.
To me, it doesn't hold up for me. It doesn't.
But Femi, you literally said out loud, he has broken the mold, and you think that's more likely than what I'm saying.
Yes, because they need to see him play.
You bet on this Friday. Tyler Morales joins us here. If we were still alive in Survivor, guys, who would we take to survive into week 9?
I mean, we already use Patriots. I mean, Patriots, if you haven't used New England, that's what I would recommend. But we already used New England. It was week 4, week 5, whatever the hell it was. I actually think that, for us, I would actually recommend Kansas City. Just because I think a lot of people are going to look to save Kansas City. That would be my suggestion. They play Thanksgiving. They play Christmas in the pool that we're in. It would be firing a very valuable bullet. But I do think this week, with all the touchdown favorites, it just smells like we're going to get some chaos to me. I would actually recommend Kansas City as the choice.
I would say the Colts or the Falcons, Tyler.
Sorry, I hit the wrong button. Yes, those are my two. The Falcons and the Colts. Probably the Falcons get a quarterback upgrade if Cousins plays. And how would the Titans be in the Colts? To me, like, I thought this was like, I wish we were still in because this felt like a free square. So with either the Colts or the Falcons. So those are my two. I don't think there's even think about using anybody else. I think one of those two.
See, here's my thing with Atlanta is that I think Penix is going to play and I think he's going to be compromised. That's what would scare me with Atlanta. Like if they said he's benched or not benched, if he said he's hurt and inactive and it's Kirk Cousins, great, let's do Falcons. But if he's out there on a gimpy foot, like weird stuff can happen with a quarterback that's hurt. So I would actually, that's why I'm not like down with Atlanta. But yeah, Colts, we could do that one. But I think Indianapolis is probably going to be, Indianapolis and Atlanta, I think are going to be your 1-2 most popular picks. Just because I don't think anyone else is going to look to save Atlanta for anything down the line.
The be a man pick this week is the Houston Texans.
Is there one? Oh. I don't think I can do it.
Good luck with that one.
Yeah.
I'm actually like, I'm pretty confident that they're going to win this week against the Niners.
The betting market agrees with you. We're out to 2.5 in a handful of places now. I mean, if we get 3, I bet San Francisco +3 if that happens. But
it's not going to get there though, right?
I mean, everyone keeps betting
Houston.
It'll
bounce right back if it does.
It's like, it's been Houston all week long. Is there another that might be the only BM. Everything else is 3 or more. That's the only be a man option we have this week. A lot of big favorites. Would you ever consider Cincinnati? We don't know the quarterback for the Jets.
This is what I love. Like this is all you need to know about the Bengals. The Jets officially declared their best offensive player and their best defensive player both out today, and the betting market moved towards the Jets.
That is correct.
Like it was 6.5, and now it's 6. The Bengals have like either the worst or the second worst defense in the league. Like I don't know how you could ever be comfortable taking the Bengals.
Yeah. Is Hendrickson playing? He's questionable. We don't know his status is.
I would be, if we weren't going to take the Colts or the Falcons, I would pound the Indies. Indies the number one choice with the bullet. I would say we should be men and take the Texans.
Oh, Indy Colts. Over Houston for me. Yeah, Colts.
Easy. Colts.
Yeah, I can't do Houston. It's just, I don't know.
You don't want to be a man?
Cool. No, not this week. There's only one be-a-man option. No.
No, definitely not. I'll just take the Colts at 14-point favorites. I'm good on being a man.
Yeah. Well, here's Cam Ward. 350 yards.
For a second. Yeah, I mean, look, like, the Colts are going to win. But we might want to save Indianapolis. It looks like they're going to win, like, 13 games. Just saying. All right. Yeah. Hour one done. Hour two for you coming up on the other side. We will start the hour with two tremendous guests. Major League Baseball Hall of Famer Tom Glavine at 20 past the hour. We'll start things off college football with our friend Colin Wilson.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.